Welcome to CodeCast. We're a podcast that focuses on everything tech, and we give you an idea of what developers, startups, and creatives are up to in Zambia and across Africa. Every 2 weeks, we explore different topics and applications of technology in the real world. Every episode is brought to you by Agora Code Community. For more information, visit agoracode.community or follow us on Twitter at CodeAgora.
My name is Shakiri, and I'm like the glue. And you're listening to CodeCast.
Okay. To get started, today we're talking about everything payments. Though with a focus on more business-to-business payments, but still has an effect on the consumer. So, fancy name, aggregator, right? So these guys like pull together all the different payment methods and like bundle them together.
Yep.
And it's supposed to be really convenient for the consumer. So if you're a business, you know, hop onto this platform and you basically have like different ways
to receive, collect
money and stuff like that.
Exactly.
So today we got two guests.
Two guests?
One remote. One. Okay, so they'll introduce themselves.
One by one. Well, if they did it at the same time,
it would be interesting.
Okay.
So, hello everyone. My name is Shakiri Almond, and I work for BroadPay Zambia.
Okay. Guest number two.
Yes. Hi, guys. My name is Amatava, but you can call me O, and I work for Flutterwave.
This is going to be super quick. So tell us, what is BroadPay and what is Flutterwave?
So BroadPay Zambia is a local Zambian company that was started in 2015. By what I would like to call a tech visionary. Our CEO, his name is Bright Chiyundu. He 100% Zambian. Like, I'm probably the only foreigner. I am the only foreigner that works at the company. And what we do is we provide solutions to take your money. Okay? That is the simple way I can put it. If I was doing a pitch right now, I would say that. to take your money. Anyway, we can help you get for your customers to get money to you, to get money to pay bills, to take money in the most unconventional ways is what we try to do.
But legal, right?
But legal, yes, legal. We are licensed by the Bank of Zambia, and we have to abide by multiple regulatory requirements. So everything is safe. We don't worry about that. You can, we don't want you to sue us, but you know. So yes, that's what we do here in Zambia.
Okay, awesome. Guest number two.
Yes. So Flutterwave, we're a payments technology company. We're headquartered in San Francisco, but we largely operate on the African continent. And really, our goal is to build a platform that unifies the fragmented payments landscape in Africa. What do I mean by that? We have different payment methods from one country to the other. Take Zambia, you've got some prevalence of cards, and then you've got MTN money, Airtel money, and Zantel, right? Which gives people different alternative ways of making or accepting payments. And then you jump over to neighboring countries and you find that it's different types of payments there as well.
Yeah.
So what we do at Flutterwave is we build a platform that integrates all of these different payment systems and then provides one connection to businesses that are using the platform to accept or send money, essentially saving them on investment in like more technical integrations and operational processes and the likes.
So you two are basically like direct competitors, right? Like BroadPay and Flutterwave.
I wouldn't say that it was a competition. Not really.
Yeah.
Why would you say that?
You're like competing for the same target market, aren't you?
No.
No?
Not really.
Okay.
I would call it a partnership. There's no reason to reinvent the wheel. The thing is like creating strategic partnerships, especially when it comes to technology. There are a lot of, as my colleague O is saying, there are a lot of fragmented e-wallets and all of these. Everybody wants to create the same thing. Instead of just partnering with each other in order to create one API to rule them all. Which is what BroadPay and Flutterwave has done.
Nice Lord of the Rings reference, by the way.
I would 100% agree with that.
Yeah.
And for us, especially at Flutterwave, like when we think of payments, yes, our main goal is unify fragmented payment landscape in Africa. But at the end of the day, Africa trades with other parts of the world and other parts of the world trade with Africa. So what we really want to do is build a global payment infrastructure. And if you have that type of a vision, it's going to be really difficult to even begin to think that you can accomplish that by yourself without partnerships with other fintechs and other payment companies.
Exactly.
How fragmented is the market though? Like, okay, we always like to give Zambia as an example, right? How fragmented is our market here?
Well, the Zambian market, from my experience, I mean, we've had in the past, like, even before we launched Rave, which is the payment gateway for anyone. I don't care. I'm sorry, everyone else. If you're not using Rave,
you should probably charge
for ads. Like, I've used other payment gateways. Yeah. I've sold other payment gateways. I've used them in other organizations where I've worked, and they're not as user friendly. That's all I can say. You know, it's easy. So with the, before we even launched Rave in Zambia, many people were coming to us asking for integrations. And I would say we would probably get asked about integrations with these different wallets maybe twice a week from different companies. So it's just like everyone is seeing the wealth and the possible revenue from having a wallet, but really not understanding that most people here don't have bank accounts.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You know, so it's like you're creating these wallets to do what? You're not a bank. That's a whole nother regulatory issue that you have to overcome.
Yeah, I always wonder how people have looked past that.
There's no getting past it. When Bank of Zambia catches up, then you'll figure that out. But there's really no getting past that. No, so it's kind of like, you know, everyone is trying to beat everyone else instead of just coming
together.
To
providing one solution.
Exactly. Yeah. To capture the entire market.
For the greater good.
Dude, I always ask myself, like, why do you even do this? Why are we competing? Like, you have 10, I exaggerate, like 5 booths next to each other.
But that's the truth. 5 tomato stands, and you want me to buy tomatoes from each of you. I'm buying 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. To spread the wealth,
Because I need
5 tomatoes, so buy 1, 1, 1.
Yes. Just go to the tomato stand with like a couple of shine, like, okay, fight to the death for my business.
Exactly.
Do you guys think like it's like rooted in culture? Like we just naturally want to compete against each other and want to work together.
I don't know if I'd say rooted in culture. So much as
humanity.
I mean, human beings are a selfish species, like by nature. Like, I don't think there's any disputing that. But there's always this notion that if, especially like locally, I don't know if you guys agree, but there's this notion that if someone else is doing well, then, or if someone else is doing better than me, then I'm not doing well, or something like that.
Yeah.
We don't really like accommodate this culture of the rising tide lifts all boats.
Exactly.
It's more, if I get a leg up on as many people as possible, even if we're all suffering, I win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
I guess
I beat you to it, and you feel it even you feel it even in the advertising. It's like we're the first. We're the first. Like, dude, no one cares. Just take my money.
But here's the thing: you're creating the first, but your product is not working.
Exactly.
Like, you've implemented it, like you've pushed it out, but guess what? The interface sucks. I don't enjoy using this as a customer.
Yeah, the process.
Then just like you rushed it out just so you could say that you were first. Yeah.
That doesn't help anyone.
You know, we're having a conversation about.
I have no comment.
You know, we should put a camera in the studio.
What?
Just see what happens. So we're having a conversation around like how people can be drawn to something naturally based off how well it works for them. For example, like I don't think I've come across a lot of payment methods that are really easy to use. I don't know. Maybe it's just because we've gotten used to either.
I think we've gotten used to a lot of things, and we look past a lot of the inefficiencies because of the options that are there. For example, like to your point, I use e-wallet, but it's because I'm with FNB. That's where my money is. Yeah. So it's the most convenient option for me. It doesn't mean it's good. I mean, I'm not saying it's bad, but like it could certainly improve. And that's the point.
You know what hasn't really improved lately with that wallet and your bank account is being able to really transfer money from your e-wallet account to your main account. I know like you can do it now, but as of maybe 3 or 4 months ago, you really had to jump through hoops.
Can you do it now though?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, if you've got the mobile app, you can.
Yeah. Ah, okay.
Yeah, and also feel look.
Like, see, I did not know that.
Well, FNB is like a fintech. That's a bank, like. FNB took strategic steps they were very innovative about it. They took strategic steps to make sure that the customer experience was number one on the plate. That's what a lot of tech companies, I feel like they forget. Like these wonderful developers, I mean, they're smart, they're educated, I mean, handsome, you know, sitting in this basement and they're creating this technology from their point of view as a developer, but not thinking, how is my customer going to interact with this?
Exactly.
And F&B made it top priority that customer service is number one. So they essentially became a fintech with a banking license.
Well, that's an interesting way to look at it.
Here's a question. Do you think over the next maybe 20 years, right? Mm-hmm. You see how like the mobile money space has grown exponentially over the last like 5 years or
whatever. Yeah.
As long as you've got a mobile phone, you can literally have your own little wallet, right?
Yeah.
And the banks, it's a different story for the banks. Like the banks literally have to chase you and try to get you onto their platform.
Yeah.
Like you're using your phone for many different other things and you have an added bonus of banking.
Exactly.
Your wallet and so on and so forth. Do you think at some point that MNOs will like cross that line and become bigger than what they are now, like literally crowd out the banks?
I think that's a goal, right? More power to the people.
I mean, the thing is, most people are just looking for convenience.
Yeah.
So whoever serves that convenience is the person that quote unquote wins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because like to your point, like a lot of people like. I don't have to deal with this because I'm a packet. But a lot of people forget that no matter how robust your system is, if a customer uses your app, your website, your platform, whatever it is, and has a bad experience,
that
sticks. They'll never use it again.
Yeah.
Your brand is shot now.
Yeah.
I always emphasize on this. I'm glad it's coming out from you.
I mean, I've never disagreed with you.
Yeah. I don't think anyone's ever disagreed.
Yeah,
you haven't?
No.
Oh, my bad. It wasn't here. Seven discussions. Sorry. Wrong for us. Yeah. Dude, experiences literally change the world. If you can offer me an experience that's seamless, if you can offer me an easy experience,
right.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Look, I'm on FNB. I'm with FNB. And I see no need to be with, you know,
any
other bank.
Yeah. Like, oh, you want money? Let me send it to you. What's your number? There you go.
There you go.
Any number.
Yeah.
Any network.
Any number. Any network.
Any network.
It was genius.
It was
genius. They saw it way before.
So
I'm really waiting for
point when I can move money from my Airtel Money account into my bank account. I've seen like options for it like on the Airtel menu now, but I'm not sure if it's every bank or it's just like a few select.
I wouldn't even want to do that.
I think you'll find that if you're really moving money around a lot, you will face that challenge. Your money will sit in Airtel money, but you need to move it into your bank.
That makes sense.
For businesses.
But why send to my Airtel? Okay, never
mind. It goes options.
Yeah. So many options.
Yeah, like options over convenience. Or convenience over options.
Options and convenience?
You can't look, here's the thing, right? And this is something that a lot of companies like it's okay, let me give an example of, Apple, right? It's the walled garden approach, okay? Like you, listen, just...
Sorry, I'm so into the podcast.
It's, you have all these options to do all these things, but then Apple says, okay, but we know what you want to do. So we're going to give you the best option. Quote unquote. I mean, it's arguable whether the option that they give you is the best, but their idea is
this is not an ad.
No, this is not an ad. I don't work for Apple yet. my Twitter handle. Anyway, I'm just. So they basically try to make it so that you have less options and thus. Things are less complicated, and thus you have a better user experience. And they've, like, I mean, we can argue what's the best and what isn't all day long, but, like, it's worked for them for the longest time. I mean, you can argue that Gmail is, I don't even think it's an argument, it's just a fact. Gmail is better than the stock mail app in iOS. Like, actually, most of the stock apps in iOS are crap compared
down
to, like... But they say, okay, but if you want that Apple experience, you know? And it all comes back to UX, right? The user experience stands in front of having all these options. So when you're looking at payments, right? For me, I'm on FNB because I can send people money even if they don't have a bank account. I can receive money and I can manage that money on my phone. And I could get Airtel money or MTN money or that's another one.
I could get all these options
and I would have the options and say, okay, whatever you want to send it, however you want to send me the money, you could. But is that really more convenient for me?
Well, I mean, you can take this one if you want.
Oh yeah, sure. So at the end of the day, we build the platform, right? We have the lines of code, we build the UI, we build the design. So even though we're business facing, we actually also do indirectly interact with the consumer that's making the payments. And their experience is also a priority, at least for us, when it comes to designing a product and building in efficient user experiences. Because a merchant is not going to adopt a product if their customers are complaining to them about something wrong with the interface or something wrong with the technology. So yes, B2B, but there also has to be a focus and some sort of strategy around how do you bring that end consumer into the same payments ecosystem so that everybody has a seamless experience. A large part of it actually depends on the issuer of the payment method, right? So I think mobile money is a great example where in some countries you have instance where when people make digital payments with mobile money, they just get a USSD prompt on their phone, they enter a transaction pin and they complete the transaction, right? Whereas in other places, you have implementations where you have to dial a USSD short code, then you have to select from a menu, then the next menu, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth menu. So in some ways, the design is also influenced by the issuer and the owner of the payment method.
And we try to give as many options as that are available for payment in your country. So, like, if you're in Kenya and, I mean, you're going to see M-Pesa. If MTN Mobile Money is not available in Kenya, then why do you need to see MTN Mobile Money? So this goes back to making sure that that user interface, like just like you said with the choices, like giving you choices that are relevant to you, to make sure that you have all the options available. So in Zambia, you're going to see Visa, you're going to see MasterCard, you're going to see MTN Mobile Money. And coming soon, you'll also see Airtel, you'll also see Zamtel, and the rest of the options that are available.
And it's a two-sided, well, there are two offerings on the product, right? So there's one, the ability to allow merchants to collect from customers in the method that's preferred by that customer. But we, the same platform actually also supports push transactions. So sending money across different payment schemes across different countries, it doesn't matter what your originating currency is. So just trying to find a way to build interoperability between African countries, but also between the payment schemes that exist in those countries.
Now that is convenient.
Connecting Africa to the world.
Yeah.
But it must be a headache for you guys, right? Like, you have to deal with all these MNOs and relationships. Yeah, and
oh, boy.
All these, like, integration.
You are so right. Oh, boy.
Oh,
boy.
Oh,
boy.
It's easy for us, but hey, it's easy for you.
And the thing is that...
We do it for the customer.
Exactly.
No.
And a lot of people think that these relationships are one-off. Like, yes, you've integrated and you've done that part, but it's not one-off. Like, you have to continuously manage these people, your relationships very strategically, like, with everyone. That's almost like a whole position by itself.
Can you imagine?
Yes.
So, like, it's really a big challenge, right? Because looking at all the different payment methods that are there in different countries, like, here we've got only three, right? In terms of, like, MNO. You go to a different country, completely different standards and infrastructure, and then you have to, like, adapt to that country. Like, that must really be a headache, I can imagine.
Like, even things like, you know, a country's policy and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
it's the regulatory framework.
Yeah, like, that must be, like...
How will it
not? Because I know, like, I think, was it you that I was talking to this about, or you mentioned that, is it PayPal? You can pay using PayPal, but you can't receive in Zambia. Which, like, to me, doesn't make a lot of sense.
No,
but apparently,
did you find a workaround?
Licensing.
Tell your body after this.
No, I already have my workaround. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Yeah. Not that I'm admitting to any
guys. Guys. But yeah.
We'll talk. We'll talk after. Yeah. But yeah, like it's something that I feel like the end users never see. Do you run into those like hurdles? Like, I know obviously you run into hurdles when it comes to, like, you mentioned regular. Wow, I can speak today.
That's regulatory.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. But like it must be like there must be other challenges that come about from the interoperability that you're talking about, right?
Challenges with, the question is,
challenges
are we facing with interoperability?
With, how do I phrase this? It makes a lot of sense in my head. I just need to get it out. So you work with, it's basically your B2B relationships, right? But then you throw the regulations wrench into that, right? Like, I'm just, like, picturing a situation where you're sitting in a room and then someone hits you with, oh, but in this country we can't do this. So are there situations where, like, you just have to stop and say, I guess this isn't going to work out.
This is as far as we go.
I mean, there's never one size fits all. Like, I know you have good answer for this one. Like, there's never one size fits all. Like, and I think that that's what a lot of companies get in trouble, like, you think because the approach, and it can even be like regionally, like in Zambia, like the people in Southern Province and the people in Copperbelt and the people in Lusaka are drastically different people. So, like, you even have to market to them in different ways. You can't even use the same language.
That makes sense.
Right. So you mean to tell me that we can pick out those three different differences just here in Zambia, and then you're going to take the same product that you did in Uganda or you did in Kenya, and you thought that this would be okay in Zambia. That's why
there's always a need for localization and customization to fit the consumer in that region.
Exactly.
And that's something that we take into account as well, most certainly.
That is
right. I'm thinking about all the big excuses people make not to pay for something online. Or
like, dude. The hoops we have to jump through to get Spotify.
Yeah, and O definitely has like the best experience with that because she has rolled out like, oh, how many countries? Like, let's be real.
Oh my.
Let's brag.
How many countries now? I think maybe 5, and have a few rolling out in at the moment. So it's been a fun ride.
Yeah. 5 countries. Can you believe all 5 countries have different regulatory frameworks?
Yeah.
Yes.
Different
payment methods.
Right. Different already existing payment methods. All these people, as we stated before, want to create 5 and 6 wallets per person. Like, how can you imagine?
Just sign up. It's fine. Just sign up.
People have dead apps on their phone. They don't even ever. They never use them. Like,
yeah, that's another challenge. Yeah. Inactive.
Exactly.
Customers.
It takes a lot to do this. You know.
That's interesting. So, like in comparison, like when looking at Zambia, right? And then the rest of Africa. Well, are there any similar challenges and stuff like that, or is it like pretty much the same thing across? What's the landscape like? Maybe almost like 5 countries.
So I think one consistent thing across the board is each country has more than one preferred way of making payments. At least in every country that I've been to, I think 2 is probably the minimum. I see payment options on merchant websites growing by the day. Lately, I've also been seeing like point of sale financing where as a consumer, you don't have to pay the full price of the purchase today. You can actually right there at checkout, apply for a loan with a different entity and use that loan to make your purchase.
No, wait, what country?
We actually just rolled out a pilot with one of our partners in Nigeria, where now anytime people attempt to make a payment in Nigerian Naira, one of the options that's now been added is our partner's solution for point of sale checkout financing.
That's interesting. I saw an ad on TV the other day. Like this lady was at a TL South African ad, and her card was declined. And pretty much same gimmick. Like she could get a loan at the TL. Like it was really interesting. It was a funny ad. I like.
I've got it.
That's basically financing, right?
Yeah.
Like you know that.
Exactly.
It's like microfinance on a different level.
Like all the Nigerian princes that have been emailing me about money are gonna love this.
You know what? Well, on that topic, I think I was talking about this before, like we started recording, maybe for the listeners and stuff like that, about how I almost scammed like this past week. Really interesting. This guy is like pretended to be like police officers and stuff like that, and tried to like
inspector what? What is his name? Now we're airing out all your dirty laundry, inspector.
No, like I'll give him like a C
for you failed, man.
I mean, like I'm just saying, like if Nkuma isn't on the next episode because he's been arrested by Inspector what?
Kalonde.
Yeah, Inspector Kalonde. if that happens, Well, it's sad. It'll be sad. But the show will go on.
It to go on. Never stop. Never stop, guys.
I guess we'll
like,
don't know.
No, what about this topic? Yeah. Like, security. Like, interestingly enough, like, around payments, because, like, in my line of work, we deal with a lot of people that are, Well, they might be banked, but it's not because they wanted. They wanted to, or probably forced to, maybe because of salaries or that sort of thing. Or when it comes to actual card payments, like we do have a Visa platform that they can use to like make payments, but they rarely ever do because they don't trust the platform for like,
yeah.
security card, debit card information and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
So like that's one of the biggest challenges I'd say here. Like you really have to build sensitization around like, and
yeah.
sometimes you find you can't even add your own branding to like the checkout page because you want them to see the name of the bank so they can actually trust. Like,
yeah.
This is
yeah.
Right.
I think a large part of it also is just merchant and consumer education. So the product that we're selling, Rave, is a level one certified PCI DSS product. Essentially, there is a committee sort of that regulates global payment standards and setting security standards for what payment service providers should, how they should handle data and all of that stuff. And we're level one certified. We've been since the product was launched. We also recently got our ISO certifications. We got two different ISO certifications. I don't remember what the codes of each are, but I think if this was information that was available to merchants and like some clear communication on how extensive the program is for you to even get certified, I think that would go a long way to give a lot of consumers that extra security when on the checkout page, they can see that this is a PCI DSS certified platform, this is a PA DSS certified platform, there is ISO certifications and all that stuff as well.
I'm looking at the Rave website and I gotta say I want in.
Yeah.
Sorry.
After this,
I'm gonna do my research. I'm seeing snippets of code here. I'm excited.
I from like the developer conference when Rave Platoil gave us a credit and stuff to like buy out.
Oh yeah.
Do we still have those Platoil? Do we?
Credits.
You got the AWS credits.
Is that what
the
you mean?
Credits are expired. Just
oh.
in case you think you're going to get the same ones. But yes, we did get like AWS credit. So like the whole point of it was to get more developers to kind of like try out the Rave API
yes.
and so on and so forth. I never got to that point of actually using it, but I always wondered like how, is it any easier than all the other like platforms?
Like honestly, it seems easier. I'm speaking from, I've just looked at the website and done a bit of reading, but it already seems easier. Do you remember how like difficult it was? Like I think we were together at this presentation where they were showing how you can integrate the
CyberSource.
Yeah.
Barclays.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Dude.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was looking at that and I was like, okay, I know we want money, but Jesus.
I tried it and I'm like, you know, like there's not much information.
Yeah.
And like you
What's
have a contact
on?
And I'm sorry.
Yeah, and he was actually like giving a presentation on how to implement it, and he was actually telling us how difficult it is.
I'm telling you that a lot of it is just from experience. You run a lot of errors with no information
yeah.
on
and
what actually is wrong.
You have to sort it out yourself.
And keep trying and trying until you just get it right.
And I'm like, dude, there's no way, like, no
and
support.
It's very difficult also from the business side to actually scale that. That
yeah.
becomes
yeah.
like super
yeah.
expensive if you have to handhold everybody who needs to use the platform.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that's just for Visa. All that stuff. It was just for Visa, right?
Just for Visa.
Yeah.
And then the paperwork behind
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Like,
there's paperwork behind that as well.
Stand in the queue.
You
Why
have
don't
to,
you?
Yeah. You have to meet. You have to meet
Why
someone from Barclays, and you have to like have this working relationship with them. But they have that relationship with every other person trying to get like it's really so I'm looking at the stuff
and
it does look.
And you don't have volumes. Why do they even
no
want
to
talk to
get
you?
Left behind. Just do something, okay?
Right.
But then, like on the aspect of volumes, right? I think the last couple of months I've been spending a lot of time talking to like people that have these services and are constantly asking what your commercials are, and that's what determines whether you'll be integrated quickly onto to like different platforms.
Exactly.
And that's proving to be a real big challenge, especially for startups who are just like, you don't really have the volumes yet, but this will help you get the volume.
Yeah, that's like it's just like a chicken and the egg scenario.
Exactly. Like, the payment gateway can literally help you reach the global market. Yeah. All you have to worry about now is distro. That's it. That's it. Like, you can literally sell something to someone in Virginia or sell something to someone in Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm. Or China.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Or Soho in New York. I don't know. And send me to them.
Yeah.
And still receive your money. And for local transactions, and when I say local transactions, I mean local currency. You can receive the money in your account within 24 hours. You tell me if CyberSource can do that.
Shots.
Bang, bang.
Wow. Wow, I'm not expecting that.
Shots.
So at the end of the day,
fintechs
don't exist without like the bigger financial institutions, right? So as much as we can preach that we're making payments easier and more seamless for the merchant and the consumer, I can't offer a card payment if Visa doesn't exist, right? I can't be a fintech if I can't have a bank account, because no matter how many licenses I have, I still need to keep the money someplace, right?
Very true.
So I think for me and for Flutterwave in general, we see more opportunities for partnerships. Like, we see more opportunities to get closer to our enablers, the card networks, the telcos, the banks. Yeah.
I agree. And to be honest, like, yes, CyberSource has its issues, but we do partner with Barclays. We do partner with the other banks in the market.
Well, as long as it's you guys partnering with them and not us.
Yes, I can already see your affiliation.
I mean, like,
see where this is going.
I see where it's going.
Convenient, dude.
It's really interesting, like, from a developer perspective. Like, the deadlines are crazy.
Yeah.
And that's why I didn't like the CyberSource thing. Like, dude, I was working on a real timeline and it was... you know, there's an interesting concept that's flying around lately, and they're calling it the foot soldiers. Like, you're the foot soldier, you do what you're told, and you do it according to the time that you've been given, not according to the time that you want. And then it's just like, okay, you need to do this in 2 days. And you go sit down, you get that documentation, it doesn't tell you anything, by the way.
Yeah, I mean...
And then you sit down, and then... It's easy to make the form and whatever. Then you're getting an error which you can't explain. It doesn't tell you nothing.
Not documented.
From a developer perspective, I think I'm always looking for something that's easy to use. Like,
You want to streamline. You don't want to spend time doing, and I think we've said this on the podcast before, you don't want to spend time doing things that really aren't adding to the value of the application or the platform or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to spend time doing something that should be easy. I mean,
yeah, you say the best. Why reinvent the wheel?
Yeah,
like, no need to reinvent.
You know, it just reminded me of a last off topic.
Uh-huh.
I got more validation on why a developer shouldn't be a system admin. This guy's one of my guys, my colleagues and stuff, spent like 4 hours in the server room trying to debug what was wrong with our server. And ended up just restarting the machine and everything just worked.
He restarted the server?
Everything just worked.
Okay.
So he could have gone in there, restarted the server, and walked out in like less than 20 minutes. It's been 4 hours.
That was me last week.
As a developer, I don't go.
Yeah, no, as a developer, you don't want to spend time doing like system admin and stuff. Like, I think it's Twambo who is talking about how, like, you don't have the time to start working on that shit. Yeah, but no, like, honestly, like you've already said, like, the convenience, and it's not just like convenience for the end user. Like, I'm already seeing convenience from a development perspective, because like, especially in Zambia, dealing with developing a system that accepts payments is...
I like the setting up the payments policy, the easy one, because the bigger work is in actually sensitizing.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Exactly. And that's, I feel crazy. Like, of late, it's just been shoved down our throats. Like, sign up, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean...
Okay, I sign up, then what? Like, how many inactive users do you really have?
Mm. You know, that's no a fair point. About that. That's a fair point.
Oh, we've had so many users sign up, but who's using it?
That's a fair point. That's a fair point.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we were the foot soldiers for you guys. Like,
oh, yeah.
We did all the running around.
Well, we didn't give you timelines.
We made all the partnerships, and then here we offer you a package. Like,
but
yeah.
We'll take
just
it.
Sign
we'll
up.
Take it.
Yeah.
We're not complaining.
Mm-hmm. Like, how hard is it though to sell yourself to partners? Like,
to
are
sell.
They yeah? Are they willing to jump on board, or do they need extra convincing?
I think to be honest, the banks were easier than expected. I think they were easier than expected because everyone is really the whole SME space, the whole entrepreneur space. Like, how can we tap into this talent of people who know how to fix their own problems?
It's a wave.
Exactly, it's a wave, right? Mm-hmm. So like everyone wants to tap into that. And then also tapping into being able to get more people onto digital financial platforms is like something
yeah.
that governments
exactly.
are also very exactly. interested in because now,
yeah.
right, financial inclusion, because not only that, but now we can see the transactions, how they're moving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, what platforms are people really using? And the good thing about the dashboards that Rave has is that you can even tell, like, are more people paying from mobile phones? Are more people paying from their laptops? Like, how are they doing it? Because then you can streamline your marketing, streamline your messaging. At what point in time are people interacting with the online payment system? You know, can I offer a 50% discount between this time and this time to drive traffic?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So those are some of the business analytics that it allows you to understand and structuring how your business is going to move, especially from an operations standpoint. You know, us operations people, we love that stuff. You know, we go crazy over that stuff. And then, you know, just with the banks and dealing with the MNOs, it really wasn't as much resistance as I thought it would be. I mean, it takes a while. Do you have time is
yeah.
really the question.
Yeah.
Because this is about building relationships. And as I stated before, like, you don't just integrate and then you cut it off. Like, no, like, you have to go back, you know. Hey, how you guys doing? Bake some cookies. You know, add a human. Add a human touch
yeah.
to the tech.
That's a good point.
True.
It's
bake,
true.
Bake some
cookies.
What kind of, like, chocolate chip? No, but, like, that's actually a fair point, especially when it comes to, like, data, right? Like,
data
is a big deal. Like, auditing this stuff is a lot easier when see how
exactly.
money is moving.
And you know, the most interesting thing now is how we get our ID cards, like NRCs.
Yeah.
Like, I think they're still manual right now. Like, there's no real, like, seamless integration. Like, someone gets the registration card and suddenly they are known across every department in the government. This
yeah,
exists.
It's forms
yeah, like
that are moved physically.
But that's, like, really changing a lot now.
Yeah.
So, like, immigration is, like, really gone.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a step further. Like, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we see that going down to every other part, and if we can eliminate, like, this idea of going to the bank before you go to the actual entity, or you go there, you start the form, the process, right? Then you have to step out, go to the bank, deposit, then go back and actually finish. Like, we need to get that.
Yeah, I was like, recently I dealt with that when paying let's not talk about what I paid, but I was dealing with a government like payment thing, and yeah, exactly what you're saying. You go there, you do everything, you deal with everything, and they tell you, okay,
now go here.
Go here.
And bring me back the POP.
Yep. This day and age.
2019.
I want it certified. But you want to know something? I just want to put this out here because the technology is there. Like, it's not that the technology is not there to make the queues go away, to streamline all of these processes. It's just that the consumer, number one, is the consumer going to use it? And are the businesses going to push it? Because one thing that I've noticed when I went to go pay, I'm not going to say what entity I paid. I asked them, I said, well, don't you get a bank statement? Like, can't you just, you want me to help you reconcile this by bringing you a POP after I waited in this line for 2 hours?
Yep.
Right? That's basically putting off your function on the customer. Right?
Yeah.
So are you going to say, and then they told me, oh, well, you can also just do this online. But then if I do this online, you're going to ask me to print this off and bring it to you. So where can we have legislation for Paper Reduction Act that forces businesses to utilize technology at every single point possible to reduce the waste? Because then if you put it on the businesses, then the businesses will force every customer that interacts with it. And some of these companies, you can't not interact with them to reduce the paper.
Yeah. Another way of looking at it. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Bravo.
I think you just solved our problem as a country. If anyone who can make the change is listening.
Yo.
There you go. That was a freebie.
The first one's free.
The first one's free.
Now, how you implement it?
How do we do that?
that's really interesting. Going back to like developers and APIs and stuff like that. Like, how many different types of APIs are available for like developers, and how's like the onboarding?
Should I take that one? Okay, so it's actually a very easy and smooth onboarding process. I think one thing that I've now gotten used to when I first introduced people to the product is their disbelief at how easy and how seamless and efficient it is. So it's all self-onboarding online. You can sign up for the product in under 5 minutes. You upload all your documentation for KYC purposes. You upload where you want your funds to be deposited. And then for the APIs, like I said, our goal is to make it easy for developers, for businesses to accept or send payments across payment schemes across countries. So the APIs have been simplified. They're open on our website. It's easy to implement them. We've hired people who've integrated in less than a day. We also provide plugins for the different e-commerce platforms that are out there. Can you still hear me?
Yeah,
we can. Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry. So there's like a Shopify plugin, a WooCommerce / WordPress, Joomla, PrestaShop. Then you have like the iOS and Android plugins as well. So from a technical perspective, it's quite savvy. And very, very easy to work with.
This reminded me of a time I was trying to do like an integration with one of the MNOs, and just getting the API was a problem. Like the amount of documentation you need to fill in, like physical documentation,
just to get the API.
Hand in, wait a few weeks for approval, then get the API documentation, then try and catch someone to actually do the integration.
To support, right?
That's crazy.
This makes me so happy. I don't think
And there's a lot of languages, like a lot of coding languages that you can
You're making me sound like a miserable person. But yeah, like this is cool, and I like that you guys are thinking about the developer experience as well, because like a lot of these don't put and like if the developer isn't happy, then the customer.
Do you know what I find most interesting? Like I found myself in situations where it's not really the decision maker that's making the decision on what API you're using or what payments you're going with.
Yes.
The developer.
Exactly.
The developer likes it. Yes. He'll push for the product to be
exactly.
used.
Yeah.
He knows how easy it is.
Yeah.
Because we don't know.
I mean, like, sometimes. Yeah. So sometimes the foot soldier has to, like, take a stand and say, rave!
Thank you for the added push. I'll take that into consideration.
Okay, yeah. Like,
absolutely.
Wait, are you calling me your foot soldier?
That's all part of like our strategy to make it easy for developers to use the platform and also to give developers incentives for actually pushing Rave and being that foot soldier who advises the business owner to use Rave, right? So that's where the AWS offer came from, or that's where the like sort of the thought behind what can we do to help small businesses, to help developers grow their business. And then we also introduced the referrals where people can actually earn revenue for every other business that they refer to Rave. All they have to do is share their referral link or their referral code with that entity. That entity then signs up with the link or the code.
Yo, I like how this sounds.
We all do.
Okay, prepared.
Okay. Yeah, like you've sold us. Like you sold us the dream.
And we weren't even trying to sell. Thank we were just literally sure. just talking.
Tell everybody to tell everybody to tell everybody.
Right. Oh, were we trying to sell? I don't think so.
Nah, but it all sounds like really, really, really cool. Yeah.
It's really nice to have an added player on the field that is looking to make it a bit easier. I think maybe then a lot of things may change, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, they don't have a choice. Like, globalization is happening, innovation is happening.
Whether you like it or not.
Whether exactly. you like it or not, yeah.
You gotta get with it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm calling it. Brilliant episode. We're about to end. So, I'm gonna get plugs from everyone, including my Twitter handle. But,
you gotta get a backstory to this. Like, you've never listened to a podcast episode. Since episode one, we've had this struggle.
Every episode.
I really don't know. Like, okay, you know what? Go ahead. You start.
You know, you see that? You put me on the spot.
You put yourself.
So, my Twitter handle is Jorelli360. Is it? Yeah, 360. JOR_ELI360. That is my Twitter handle. It is not changing. I have made a decision to never change my Twitter handle.
But you know what's gotten better? With each episode, you kind of found a way to like
make it sound
good. Say it so it's clear.
It's clear. Yeah, like that was good.
Well, I've had see lots it. Of yeah. practice, so
15 episodes worth.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't on every episode, but yeah. Anyway, if you search like JOR, I'm pretty sure I'm the most famous JOR right now. You'll find me. Yeah, I'm calling it. Okay. I said it. Jor-Li. Okay. Like Jor-El? But because
here we go.
He's looking at me as he's explaining this.
Yeah, because they all know the story.
Sure what I'm expected to do.
Do you know his handle? Do you remember it? Do you remember his handle?
The most famous JOR on Twitter.
So just search JOR. I'll pop up. Don't worry about it.
Okay. So that's Sawbones, Saw_Bones. I think it's do whatever you feel like doing with this episode. Except Facebook.
No, I do Facebook.
Yeah, but I rarely use it.
Okay, I don't really have a Twitter.
Huh? What?
I'm judging you.
Okay, you're so being judged so hard Twitter, right now. But I don't use it.
Okay.
So, I mean, if you want to follow me, I don't know if it would be very exciting for you.
I don't know if I want to follow someone that doesn't use their Twitter very often, but I will if you promise to follow me back. JOR.
Yeah, if you do want to follow me on Twitter, if you send me like a DM or something, I promise I'll respond. I'll get the notification. Mm. So my Twitter handle is DollFaceShack, DOLLFACESHAK.
Wow.
Elias, run for your money.
Hey, what? There are no underscores.
D-O-double-L. F-A-C.
D-O-double-L.
S-H-A-K.
Is that like all one word?
Yes. No Q. I'm not the football player, okay? This is Shakiri with a K. No Q.
Oh, yeah, up next.
So I'm actually in the same boat. I have a Twitter account, but I rarely use it.
Guys.
I do get notifications as well. So it's on my phone. I'm logged into it. but I probably have 30 tweets since 2008.
You were on Twitter in 2008.
Yeah, I had to actually sign up for it because it was 30% of my grade to tweet 3 times during the semester for one of my courses.
Wow.
That's interesting.
30%.
Intense.
Shit.
10%
of everything. Yeah.
I could
have used
that too.
I had to sign up for Twitter.
So what's your Twitter handle? Would you like to share it?
It's long, so I have to spell it.
I love this episode. No, I love that this episode is validating me. I'm not alone.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
So it's S for Sam, A-L-E-W-A, F for Frank, A-L-A-D-E.
Put a link in the
chat. Yeah. <That's
it. laughs> I'll just put a link.
Yeah.
Would you like to
Am I next? Yeah, so mine's the simplest, I think.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's the Zambian Geek. Well, the Zambian underscore.
Where's the underscore? Geek.
After the Zambian.
Where are the numbers? After the
No numbers.
No numbers.
No.
So it's just
the Zambian Geek.
Okay.
Zambian underscore geek.
Okay, interesting. Plug session. We're gonna cut everything out.
Yeah.
Validate Elias.
Why are you being this person right now?
Because I can.
Look, he's doing the evil.
Tell you what, if you wanna get in touch with Codecast, we're at CodecastZM on Twitter, we're at CodecastZM on Instagram, we're at CodecastZM on Facebook. Or our full name, Codecast Zambia. Mm-hmm. We're on 11 platforms, including Radio Republic, Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes Podcasts. We're on Breaker. Like, we're pretty much on almost every platform except SoundCloud at the moment. So just search for Codecast Zambia and boom, you've got us.
You got us.
Also, a reminder to send in messages. Can send us a minute-long message. We'll put a link in the description in case you have feedback or you want to ask a question. You guys are available for questions after this, right? Like,
of course.
You get like voice messages.
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, so you can send in messages and we'll try put as many of them as we can on our following episodes and stuff like that.
Yep.
It's been amazing. I love this episode. I feel like every episode is my favorite episode. Do you feel the same way?
I feel the same way, dude. I feel the same way.
Thanks, guys. It was a great conversation.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Codecast.
Oh, this is Codecast history.
Yeah. Oh, you made Codecast history.
Oh, yeah. Always like our first remote guest.
Yeah.
Right?
The first remote person. Can I get a plaque or something for that one?
Okay, guys.
So, do you want to say it or should I?
You can say it. Say it better.
Okay. Codecast. Out.
Podcast out.
Thanks for joining us on this week's episode of Codecast. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at CodecastZM and subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you never miss a show. Leave us a rating on iTunes and please do tell a friend about the show.